Hey guys, and welcome to the FBF podcast. In this show, we talk about crucial topics regarding the future of human existence and introduce you to people who are as fascinated by future as we are. What technological innovation has done to journalism in the past two decades can be a dizzying experience. This is the sentence that an article I've read recently begins, and it is all about the question in what sense podcasts can replace radio and in what sense podcasts uses the measures of radio in order to form people's opinion. So in what sense podcast contributes to journalism? So I'll explain an answer to all these questions in this episode. It's gonna be a quick one, and then I'll just comment on that, my person present you my personal opinion, so that we can get into the kind of exchange of opinions. So I would be very happy about also discovering what you think about that. So I'm happy about your feedback as always, but for now let's just begin. If we look at technological innovation of today and of the past two decades, we see that journalism has had a fundamental revolutionary change, because there are so many more options in order to get data, to get better maps, to get better visualizations, more push notifications, faster fact checking, and so on. So actually the connection of any point on the world where journalism is done in any way, where journalism is for example, talking about politics, you have a better access to facts. And actually in the theory, this would mean the rise of any fake news. So yet we know there's kind of a unifying feature behind of all these innovation, and this has something to do with the role of media and public in a democracy. So the argument is the following. So news media has to provide the rational numbers, the rational facts in order to form the opinion of a deliberative citizen, and to become a deliberative citizen through informing yourself about the public media, about the news media, about what is going on in the world, to be presented in a clear and accurate picture. Well, as I've just said, if we are looking at media and public media and news in this way, the media has the role, and the technology could help to get news reports more accurate, because we have these differences in the access, in the kind of extremely big amount of details we can find out in such a short time. And the technology can help news reports to become more data driven, more fact checked, and with rich multimedia embellishment. Though the technology enhanced journalism was supposed to become better at conveying the complexities of our reality to the public. But then in the article, they are questioning that and saying, but why did we find then ourselves facing a horde of hateful trolls, hysterical fake news outlets, and so on? So how can this happen if, in theory, the possibilities that technology brings into the world of media, of public media, of the way a citizen informs himself, herself, why have we then, do we then have to face like a news agenda led by the Russian hackers or a never-ending spiral of conspiracy theories? So maybe there is something they are stating here that we have overseen and we have not considered when thinking about all of that. So they are considering a fundamental problem that may have been overseen here, and that is that it might not be enough for the news media to hold a mirror that seek to reflect realities accurately as possible. So in the end, what is the consumer of the information that someone gets by social media and technology advanced media? In the end, it is a community that realizes that it is affected by some issues. So if you realize to be affected by something, you are concerned, and one has to have some kind of experience or sensation about that. So what the media does now is creating something that we know under the word sensationalism. So it's not the exaggerating facts and events, presenting them in a inaccurate way that I mean here by sensationalism, but it is the use of our senses and perceptions, our sensations, to inform knowledge in the most basic and important way. So a discrete and yet enduring format that may fulfill such an alternative, sensational vision of the role of media and democracy are actually podcasts, they say here. So why? Why podcasts? Because podcasts use a system, a concept that we already know from somewhere else, and this is the talk radio. Podcasts have understood something. They have the potential to make you feel things. So podcasts bring you to places you've never been. They confront you with themes you've never thought about, and they can give you the impressions of sharing the most irrelevant animated video, but in the same time they talk about political issues, about serious topics that are currently going on in the world. So this is a way of presenting information by actually triggering emotions in the listener. So bring a citation from the article here. Freed from stranglehold of objective and neutral reporting, podcasters act as storytellers rather than merely as journalists, allowing them to take audiences around unexplored territories that listeners can experience and maybe care about. So it's exactly the receipt of talk radio. Also, if I talk about the topics, it might seem quite neutral, as I always do some research and then present you what I found out about a certain topic. But in the end, I'm also talking about like personal stuff in the beginning or in the end of a podcast show. Maybe not as much as other podcasters do that. Maybe it's also why people why my podcast is not as appealing to some people as to others, because I'm quite fact-based, because like I want to paint a accurate picture of the future. But in the end, it's also me talking to a like group of people, and this power of someone talking to a group of people has been understood also by radio, because you can trigger the emotions much better if you are like talking directly to people, even if they have never heard before your voice or how you sound or anything like that. This is also an advantage, actually. So yeah, what podcasting adds to the mix is a diversity of voices that were not heard before, and a capacity to reach audiences that were not in the habit of tuning into radio at the same time every day or every week. So this is also what I want right here. And this like sensational medium builds flexibility and chronicity. So you can hear podcasts whenever you want, wherever you want, and you could also like set you a certain alarm clock with the most of the podcasts, because most of the podcasts have a like fixed day or like day in the week where they are uploading episodes. This is also not the case with me, so I'm kind of exception in this in this topic, I'd say. But normally there is a kind of chronicity behind a podcast channel. But what is also true with my podcast channel is that podcasts are allowed by that flexibility and chronicity to build a relationship with their audience, and that friendliness and familiarity that can be like transferred by the podcast host to the audience is something that affects like people's inner feelings when listening to the podcast. And this is like they call it here a new form of conversation of our culture. It is that integration of feelings and sensations that makes podcasts even more appealing than radio. So in the end, I just in the outro of today, I just like to comment on that with like two or three sentences. Even if I want to hold my episodes as neutral as possible, I just present my personal opinion about that. So I think this to be true in a broad percentage. I think the theory of feelings in media, that they are creating a new kind of information transport, is true. And I also think that a media that can create emotions is more likely to be appealing to listeners or to readers than a medium that cannot create emotions. Like if I'm tuning in the news report here in Germany, there is no emotion created by that. So maybe it is just that personal aspect, and this is to be right in podcasts, that creates that feeling rather than the objective news report in the television. But I think this is much more general than it is presented in that article, as I think that every time you can trigger the emotion of your audience, the audience will, be more fascinated, or like not me be more fascinated, but be more bound to, can I say it like that, or tied to the medium or the content you are producing. So if people are emotional, they are rather sticking to something like podcast episodes and so on. But this is also true for other mediums. So if you're writing a very, very good article, say you're writing a like very good essay, like very emotional, blah, you can also trigger the feelings of your audience. It's not only the spoken word, though it is easier to convey emotions with a spoken word, as this is the first the primary way of communication between humans. Okay, so this is just my opinion about that. I'd say this is a bit more general, but the interpretation for podcasts is, in my opinion, also true. So for now, I thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I hope that you could hire out a lot of information of that episode, as I have the strategy to hold my podcast a bit more neutral. You can find the link for all of the information I've given on the podcast show in the show notes. And so that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed listening, and we will see each other. No, we will hear each other. My God, it's too early in the morning. We will hear each other next time.